reception.
My name is Tom Burns. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Friday, Avon Lake, Ohio. My sobriety date is July the 5th, 1962. So I pull from a lot of years, a lot of experiences, and that's what we're here to do. Share our strength, hope, and experience. Believe me, people, I didn't come here to teach or preach. And you're not going to get any great secret words of wisdom. If I learned nothing else, I learned simplicity. Keep it simple. My wife says to me, Tom, I'm not going to tell you how to give your lead. That's up to you, but I want you to realize that lately you've been jumping around a lot in your lead. She says, you talk about yesterday, you talk about next year, you talk about 30 years ago, then you're talking about today, and then you're talking about 30 years ago, and then you're talking... She says, I can follow you because I lived it. But you're talking to people that don't know us, and maybe they won't be able to follow you, Tom. I said, honey, I'm talking alcoholics. Believe me, they're not wrapped too tight either. We don't have any problem following one another because this isn't coming from the head. This comes from the heart. Why do you think when the people with 4 months get the biggest hand? You know how much joy it gives us to know you just left hell? And we know what it's like because we've been there, and we see somebody just left there, and we'll break our backs. We make you feel welcome. You're damn right we make you feel welcome. We want you to feel welcome. You rack our brains on what can I say to bring a new man back? What did I hear that made me want to come back? It isn't what I heard in these rooms. It's what you feel in these rooms. For the first time in a long time, you got people talking to you and not at you. You got people looking at you eyeball to eyeball and talking to you, not down at you like judges. Everybody used to talk down to me all the time. Don't treat me like you're some kind of moral degenerate. What a great feeling to feel welcome. And I thank you people who invited my wife and I, and it's so good seeing you again. Oh, God, it's great seeing you again. Qualify. Go from the fun years to the sick years to the dying years. And try to get there fast so we can get into the good stuff. And we're going to laugh and we may cry. You never really know. I hope to God we laugh. Laughter is the sign of getting well. And here we learn how to laugh at ourselves. What a great thing. You learn how to wear a kind of light. You don't think you're the center of the universe. My God. Had a nurse tell me about alcoholics. Back in when they first come out with the insurance, and we didn't have many places to put alcoholics back in the 60s and 61, 62. They needed a quick hospital for the alcoholics because now they were covered by insurance. So they took Lorain Community Hospital and they took the second floor, 2 West, the same place the mental patients were, and they put the alcoholics in with the mental patients. And my sponsor was a great believer of going up and talking to patients. And one night he couldn't make it, and he says, Tom, I can't make it. You go up and speak to them. I was okay, Jay, and I went up, and the nurse seen me coming. She says, oh, Tommy, you here to speak to the alcoholics? I says, yes. She says, well, she says, I'll get them. She says, you wait a minute. I'll send them all down to the TV room. And she walked down a long hall. She tapped one guy, walked by a couple, tapped another one, walked by. Finally, she got about 10 or 12 guys together. She used to get down to the TV room. We're going to have an AA meeting. And I grabbed her. I said, how do you know the difference between the mental patients and the alcoholics? Do they wear badges? Or how do you... Oh, she says, it's easy, Tommy. As you know, I've been sober a little while. I says, and I look down the hall, I can't tell any difference. She says, you could if you were here 3 days. I says, why is that? She says, well, she says, you see, we carry them all in. And after 3 days, you see the ones walking down the hall kind of to themselves and quiet and sedate. I says, yeah, she's there, the mental patients. You see the ones in the office telling us how to run the hospital? Huh? You got it. You realize if you're an alcoholic, you're laughing at yourself. Huh? Isn't that great? I guarantee you, when we were drinking and we were sitting in the bar and some guy tells a joke about us, we'll punch his lights out. We don't like being made, we don't like being the brunt of a joke. We're very thin-skinned people. We have feelings. You come here and we laugh at ourselves. What a, oh God, that's the beginning of getting well. I love you too. Hey, oh. This, I look at my watch, it makes you, it puts you at ease, don't it? When the speaker looks at his watch, you think, oh boy, he's only going to talk an hour. That's the last time I look at it. That's it. I never looked at that one. I get wrapped up in it and say, hey, I'm into something I love. God, we have a great weekend here, people, and we laugh and we joke and we play golf and we talk heart to heart. But believe me, this isn't a social club. This isn't a cookie club. We're here trying to save each other's life. Never forget that. This is life and death, and never for 1 minute ever think it's not. Because my small group, Avon Lake, Ohio, there's 39 people who are dead now. From the ages of 18 to 62, who thought they could drink again. Blow their brains out, get shot, run their cars into concrete pillars, commit suicide. We're not playing games. And you get up here and the only thing you're trying to do is let somebody... And the suffering alcoholic we're trying to help. The suffering alcoholic can be sober 20 years and be hurting. Suffering alcoholic could be sitting next to you with 30 years of sobriety. Why do you think we come here? This is where we share. This is where we lighten the load. This is where we learn how to live. I'm here and I'm hoping I reach down on my toes if I have to let you know that it's possible not to drink and be happy. That's why I'm here. I'm hoping to God there's a new man here that says, well, maybe I'm not going to stay too long, but I like what I met there and I heard that guy, and if he can make it, I can make it. I'll go back tomorrow. That's all. I won't promise anybody in the room I'll be sober tomorrow. I'll make it to midnight tonight. I'll start fresh. By the time I get up tomorrow, I'll have 8 hours at 1:30 tomorrow, and then we'll play it by ear from there on in. Keep it simple. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. My dad's an admitted alcoholic. Drinking was a way of life. My dad worked in the shipyards. He used to come home on Friday nights, and that's where Mom would take my sister and I, and we would meet Dad and play shuffleboard and sing songs. Everybody drank. That was the social event of the week. Sang songs about Ireland, and everybody's saying how great it is in Ireland. And I used to say to myself when I was only about 8 years old, there's something wrong with these people. If it's so damn good in Ireland, why'd they leave? Working here in the shipyards and longshoremen and anything they... No, there's something wrong. When you're 16, you're drinking, you got a draft card saying you're 18. You get into some trouble at an early age. Instead of just sending you upstate, they send you, you go in the service. They send you up to the service. No service stories. I was in the service. I was supposed to be in only 3 years, but then the Korean War kept me in another 8 months, so I almost 4 years in the service. I went in a private, and I come out a private. That's the end of my service career. Every time I get a promotion, I go to town to celebrate and wind up AWOL. Get drunk and just don't go back. I never go back. I remember once I was home between going from Wyoming to California or some damn place. I went home. And I was home a long time, almost 2 months. My mom says, Tom, don't you ever have to go back? I said, no, Mom, if there's a war, they send me a letter. They don't. As long as you got money, they don't. They get you. They come and get you. You go back. So you get discharged and you go back home, and that's the legal drinking years, people. That's when you're getting rehabilitated to civilian life. You're supposed to drink. Everybody drinks. That's where do you get over? How do you get rehabilitated? Neighborhood bar. And I don't know, time eludes me sometimes, people, but come with me. Maybe a year, I don't know, but I know I was starting to get into a lot of jackpots. And I come home one night, my dad was sitting in the kitchen, and he grabbed me. He says, son, he says, you know, your mother's seen enough of this nonsense with me, Tom. I don't want her to go through it again with you. If this is the way you want to live your life, Tom, if this is your act, do us a favor and pack your bags and get out of the house. It's okay, Dad. So I went down, I said goodbye to some of my buddies. I was going out to California. I was stationed out there a while. I was going to go out and make my fortune. And I got on a bus, and they had a rest stop in a town called Lorain, Ohio. And I seen the bars up on Broadway in Lorain, Ohio, so I got off the bus. I was going to have a couple of drinks. That was 1952. I'm still in Lorain, Ohio. That's as far as I got. I got drinking, the bus left, the clothes left, everything left. That's how it is whenever I drink. Everything leaves, jobs, cars, wives, everybody leaves me. I don't know, they call it alcoholism. I don't care what you call it, people, I'm allergic to booze. I take a shot in the beer right now, I can't tell you where I'll be at midnight. Never could. Wherever the wind blows. Hey, Tom, you ever been to St. Louis? No, let's go. Okay, sounds good to me. That's how it was. I'm going a three-day drunk. I come off a three-day drunk, and I call home. I say, Dad, I'm in this town in Ohio. I'm almost broke, Dad. If you send me some dough, I'll send it back 100-fold when I get home. My dad had been talking to people in AA. Hey, I have this son that's nutty than a jaybird when he drinks. How can I help him? Frank, you want to help him? Yeah, don't help him. What kind of advice is that? Let him wake up in enough jails. Let him beat his head in against enough walls. Let him get to the point where he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let him get to the point where a couple of seconds he gets honest with himself and he says, hey, maybe it's me. Maybe I do have a problem. Maybe I do need some help. Then we'll break our backs. But till then, Frank, let the clown finish his act. Now, believe me, I've done it. If you've been in the program any length of time, you've done it, and I'll do it again. You go out and you try to help people who need it and don't want it. And it's all right. This program isn't for people who need it. I needed it years before I wanted it. You could have sent 100 AAs to my house every weekend. I would have yesed them to death just to get them out of the house, then go up to the corner. My dad says, good luck and goodbye, hangs up. I get drinking, they say they need chemical engineers in a chemical company out there in one of those small towns, and I go out for the interview, and I get the job. I'm a chemical engineer now. I can't spell chemical engineer. Boy, your mouth gets dry, don't it? Huh? You think this is easy? This isn't easy. While working there, I met a young lady. Oh, God. She invited me to a house for dinner. I went to a house for dinner. Her mother and I hit it off. God, her mother's 81 years old. We still hit it off. We go out to Las Vegas. We ditch the wife, and me and the mother take off. I give her $200 worth of quarters. She gets on those slot machines. You think she's got an arm like Joe Louis, boy. She just pulls him up. We're tight. We're real tight. She was my wife who was with me tonight, who you met this morning. Best thing I ever did when I was drinking. Best decision I ever made to know I had a good thing there. She was in nurse's training, and I was working nights, and I used to pick her up in the morning, take her to the hospital, go to my room and sleep. Get up, pick her up after work, take her home. She changed clothes and take her out. I wined and dined her. I met her in November. I married her in December. I knew I had a good thing. I wasn't letting it go. Her dad was a pipe fitter welder by trade. He was working down the river at the time, and he come home for the holidays. And I was standing in the kitchen when he walked in. He looked at me, and I looked at him. He says, hello. I says, hello. He says, let's go up the corner. I'd like to get to know you. I says, boy, my kind of people. And we went up the corner, we get drinking, and we get laughing and talking, and we hit it off great. About midnight, he says, Tom, would you do me a favor? I says, Walt, you name it, you got it. He says, never come near my home or my daughter again. I says, what are you talking about? I thought we got along wonderful. He says, we do, Tom. He says, but you drink too much. I says, what do you mean I drink too much? You're drinking drink for drink with me. That's why I know. I put my family to hell with this booze. You think I want my daughter going through it with something like you? I says, I'm going to marry your daughter. He's over my dead body. I says, if need be. And the lights went out. Boy, he broke my nose. Bang. Wrist. Boom. An hour later, we're down Bayview Hospital. They're sewing up his eye and mouth, my nose. It's a mess. 3 days later, I married his daughter. Went to work drunk and lost the job. Here I am in a strange town with a wife, no job, no money, no nothing. What can the poor guy do? He takes me into Cleveland, gets me involved in a pipe fitter apprenticeship. We take a two-car garage, we take the front door off, we put windows in, a little space heater in a kitchen, and we make a little honeymoon cottage. And as soon as Tom gets in his fourth or fifth year of his apprenticeship, starts making a decent buck, well, we're going to buy a house, the suburbs, and we're going to live happily ever after. Four children, and 7 years later, we're still in the cottage. And I'm a journeyman now, people, and when I'm working, I'm making a pretty decent buck. The more I make, the more I drink. I used to drink on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sober up Sunday, go to work Monday. Now it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, sober up Monday, go to work Tuesday. Get paid on Wednesday, never make Thursday. Used to wake up in the, I never knew where, Jersey, New York, Chicago, corner, park, driveway, kitchen floor. Used to wake up on the kitchen floor a lot. She come out in the morning and say, Tom, I need some money for groceries. I don't have any money for groceries. I did the only thing I know how to do. I used to attack. Damn it, I drank when I married you. I'm going to continue to drink and rah, 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 rah. If you don't like it, you're not going to make me like that neighbor. I had a neighbor. I hated his guts. He was normal. The biggest thing in this guy's life was his grass. That was his whole life, a kind of alligator life. Cutting his grass every Saturday morning. Now my head's coming off. I'd be in a neighborhood bar, and he'd come in, and I'd send him down a drink. You know how you are. Say, give him a drink. He'd drink it, and he'd leave. I say, where you going? He says, I have to go home. Supper is waiting. Supper's waiting. When I stop in for a drink, I could care less if the Pope is waiting. Never dawns on me. When I take one drink, people, the only thing that's important to me is another drink. I don't know why it's that way. I don't care why it's that way. I don't even care why I drank. All I know is I come here and these people taught me how to do certain things that I do, and I don't have a desire to drink anymore. That's all I know. I know a fella that fooled with this program for 20 years because he always goes on these head trips. He's got to find out why he's different, why he drinks. Never made more than 11 months. I'm sitting in my kitchen one time, and in he comes. John comes in. He's tickled to death. He just come back from Arizona or some damn place. He found out why he drank. I said, you did. I said, why do you drink? He says, my mother didn't breastfeed me. Your mother didn't breastfeed. You're 42 years old. What the hell are you hanging a guilt trip like that on your mother for? You want to suck on something? I'll get you a cow. What the hell is it with you? Your mother didn't breastfeed you. If I would have said to Sister Ignatia, I drink because my mother didn't breastfeed me, she'd break her rosaries over my head. Can you imagine that? It's very sad. It's very sad. John got drinking and fell asleep in a chair, and he had smoking, and the cigarette caught the chair on fire, and the chair caught the John on fire. That's how John died. Yeah, not funny, is it? And it didn't have to be. Didn't have to be. Or maybe it did. I don't even ask. I don't even question things anymore. I don't. You give that up. I would run into the bedroom and with my brown paper bag and start packing my toothbrush and my underwear. That was my big spiel. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. Where the hell am I going to go? I'm leaving you. She would come in and cry. What'd I do to upset you, Tom? I didn't mean to upset you. By the time I had the world by the tail, people, I had my wife believing it was her fault I drank. We're good at that. We're good at beating people down. Living with an alcoholic, you go nuts. Can you imagine not being an alcoholic, being sane, and living with a nut? And he gets you believing that you're the nutty one. And I had it made. I had it. She was apologizing to me. Then they took me to AA, and they took her to that communist thing, that damn Al-Anon. Oh, you laugh. I hope to God your wife goes there, fella. I was happy when she went there. I thought you were going to go there and learn how to help me. No, no, no. They learn how to help themselves. They learn how to live in spite of you. Thank God. I get in AA and I get in Al-Anon. That's all Al-Anon. No more Al-Anon. We don't talk about Al-Anon. They ruined my wife. I can't kid her anymore. I can't even make her think it's her fault. Anything. We forget the letter to go somewhere. Where's the letter? Who's leading me? Well, where'd you put it? Well, I thought you took care of it. No, I'm not leading. You're leading. You find a damn letter. We're lost in Jersey trying to find a meeting. You know, the letter's on the kitchen table. I used to be able to blame her. Now I can't blame her. Blame me. She gets the biggest kick out of it. We laugh now. Used to scream and holler. Now we laugh. Life is different. I come home one night and my suitcase hits me right in the chest. She says, go, I can't live this way anymore. And I was happy. I was going to go get a room on the Gold Coast. I was going to get a Cadillac convertible. I was going to be a playboy. Well, when you're not working too steady, you don't live in the Gold Coast. You live on West 65th in Detroit. $8 a week for the room right behind the Avenue Bar. And your big nights out are sitting in all the local dives, peeling the labels off of beer bottles, listening to Poor Me songs. Tell me about the good times drinking. Tell me about the fun. And you're getting popped. Your legs are shot, your timing's off, and you're... Oh. And when do you want to see your kids? You want to see your kids at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you get in your car to drive out to Avon Lake, your car. Oh, God, your car. Every drunk has a car, don't we? Most people in construction, people have 2 cars. They have a nice family car that they take the family out on the weekends. And then they have an old beat-up pickup truck or an old beat-up car that they use for going to the jobs. We had one car, an old beat-up Plymouth with ball tires and no ignition key. I'm out drinking with my brother-in-law one night. My brother-in-law, an electrician friend of mine that I introduced to my wife's sister, and they got married. Usually my father-in-law now, he's a raving maniac. He's got 2 alkies for son-in-law. But anyway, I says, Bob, I lost the damn keys. He says, don't worry. He reaches under the dash, pulls out all the wires. Gives me 3 wires and a clothespin. And that's how I used to start the car. I used to get up in the morning, get the 3 wires, put the 3 wires together, put the clothespin on, the car would start, and I'd go to work. I'd be in the middle of traffic. I hit a bump, the clothespin falls, the car stops. People are blowing their horns at me for blocks while I'm looking for the damn clothespin. And that's how I lived. I thought that was normal. You didn't spend money on tires or keys. No, no. Drive out to Avon Lake, get out there, pull in the driveway, and the cops pull in right behind you. You're not going to see your kids because they have restraining orders. What drunk cares about restraining orders? Come on, Tom, don't give us a hard time. I'm not going to give you a hard time. I'm going to see my kids. No, you're not. Look, leave me alone, I'll leave you. You're not going to leave you alone. You're going to throw one punch, you're going to wake up in jail, your hair's going to hurt. And I got nothing against cops. If I was a cop and some punk talked to me the way I talked to him, I'd break his head too. It gets old. People, it gets real old. I remember one day I got 37 stitches in my face, and I left the emergency room, and I thought, boy, this would be a good time to go out and see the wife. She'll see my face and feel sorry for me. And I went out, yeah, you know, huh? I went out, knocked on the back door. She opened the door, looked at me, and smiled. I thought she was glad to see me. She said, do you know God answers prayers? Yeah. You finally got yours, you rotten son. Boom, slammed the door. That was the end of that. I don't know time. She says it was a year and a half. I don't know. I don't know. But I remember I was fed up with it. I remember I didn't want to live that way anymore. And I went on the wagon and I called her. I said, Glenn, I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks. And I want to take you and the kids on a picnic. I want to see you. I want to talk to you. She said, you haven't had a drink in 3 weeks? I said, no, she's okay. I'll see you Sunday. And I went out Sunday and I took the kids. I bought picnic baskets and popcorn and sandwiches and baseball gloves and baseballs. Who teaches you how to be a father? Who teaches you that? And I took the kids down the valley, and I played ball with the kids. For 3 Sundays, I did this. 3 Sundays in a row, she thought I was a changed man. And we were going to try again. And I remember we borrowed money off everybody we knew, and we bought a house on land contract in Avon Lake, a little summer cottage that they remodeled. And I remember standing on the porch. And I wasn't blowing smoke, and I wasn't trying to con anybody. I was as honest as I could be. I said, Glenn, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm going to go to work Monday, and we're going to start paying the bills, and we're going to live like other people. When I was working, I was making as much money as anybody in the neighborhood. They were going to Florida in the wintertime. They were buying new cars every other year. Their kids were going to school dressed nice and warm in the wintertime. My kids were going to school with summer clothes. There's something wrong, people. There's something wrong. Well, it was 30 days later. I was sitting on the front porch nursing a hangover. Because sometime during the 30 days, it was so good, I stopped in for one drink. I deserve it. I've been good. One drink and the rat race starts all over again. I don't know why. That's the way it is. One drink and the promises and everything else, that they're distant second. While I'm sitting on the front porch, up comes my electrician, my brother-in-law, and he don't look good either. He's hurting. He says, geez, Tom, I got problems. I says, what do you mean you got problems? He says, well, I got a drunken driving charge. I got to go before Jensen next. I says, Bob, I don't want to hear it. I had 4 of them in the last 5 months. I'm paying the last one off on time payments, Bob. Yeah, he says, but I'm being sued for divorce. I says, I know. He says, how do you know? I says, I got my papers this morning, too. Jensen was a friend of the family. He called both the wives in. He says, I'll give you 2 divorces for the price of one. Get rid of both the losers. You girls can do better. While we're talking, a wife comes out. She got talking to her brother-in-law. They get along. Okay. We're here to share our strength, hope, and experience. Let me show you. Let me give you an example of drinking, living, and sober living, huh? I'm not here to talk about the 12 steps. I'm here to talk about the results of the 12 steps. If you like what we have, get a sponsor or get at a kitchen table or get at a discussion group or get at a meeting and talk about the 12 steps with your sponsor and people know. I'm here to show you what happens to you when you put the 12 steps and 4 absolutes in your life. This thing works. This is real. This isn't pie in the sky stuff. This is real. My wife and her sister would not see each other for 8-9 months at a time. Because whenever Bob and I got together, it was a 3-day drunk. Bob and I were close. We still are. Just left them on our way down here. We stopped to see them. But anyway, one time it was over the holidays, and Bob and Maradine stopped to say hello, and he had a car full of Christmas presents and whatever. And I said to the wife, don't cook. Bob and I will go up and get some of those roasted chickens that you get. Bob and I went up the corner. The guy said, takes about 20 minutes. I said, okay, we'll go over, have a drink. We'll be right back. 3 days later, we're in the mountains in Pennsylvania somewhere looking for his drunken uncle. That's how it used to be. We got back about a week later. And that Christmas was shot among many Christmases, among many Easters, among many holidays, among many... So the wives decided, well, Tom isn't that bad when he's not with Bob, and Bob isn't that bad when he's not with Tom, so we'll keep them apart. So they would not see each other for months and months at a time. That's drinking living. Sober living. I was supposed to go out to Eugene, Oregon about 3 or 4 years ago. Bob was at the house. He says, you know, we never really took a vacation with the wives, Tom. Bob's sober 30 years. I said, that's right, Bob. I said, why don't we do that? It sounds like a good idea. Where do you want to go? I said, I don't know. We threw a dart at a map. It was upper Michigan, upper over the Mackinac Bridge. So we went up there. We went from there down to Wyoming, back to Iowa somewhere, down to Denver, Colorado, up to Mount Rushmore, Montana. We finally got to Oregon, went up to Washington, up that coastline. We spent 5 weeks bumming around the country together, living in the finest hotels, eating in the finest restaurants, dancing, living, laughing, dead sober, and living because you're not drinking, you got a few bucks. And the wives, God, their eyes are shining like two young kids. It's nice to pay back. It's nice to make amends. It's nice to do nice things for people that you broke their hearts. You can replace some of that pain. Fill a hole. It's a beautiful thing, this sobriety. Beautiful thing, learning how to grow up and live. We're doing it again. We're leaving next week. Week after, we got to go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or someplace. So they're coming with us. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to bum around the country, play golf all over. I'm not going to take Blue. He takes my money. And them New York guys, they're rotten. They bring in hustlers. Blue says we're going to pair up teams, and he's got these pockets, the teams, and me and this guy, he gets the longest hitter out there, me and him. You talk about not knowing people. I played golf today with two fellas I met just a couple of minutes yesterday, and today I spent 4 hours with John and Jeff, right? Jeff? Where's Jeff? We played together for 4 hours. We know each other 4 years. What a time we had. And Tom, where's Tom? Yeah, Tom and I were partners. We did terrible. My God, we did terrible. 4 hours on a golf course. I'll tell you something. If these two guys are an example of what AA is going to be, AA is in good shape. I'll tell you, AA's in good shape. I seen them hit bad shots and laugh at themselves. AA's in good shape. People say it isn't like it used to be. Let me tell you something. As long as you got one drunk talking and not over a cup of coffee, AA is the same as it always was. No matter how rotten you are, you can't hurt it. Sat out there and I listened to a man talk. I have a tough time pronouncing his name. Damus? And I heard, felt him. I'm sitting. I was saying, when you're out there, you can feel it. And I feel him reaching down into his heart, trying to give back. And everything is coming from here. That's all I had to feel. AA's in good shape. You got people like that pour their heart's blood out. We're in good shape. If we can eliminate some people from New York, it's going to be a hell of a lot better. What goes around comes around. I don't know where the hell I am in this lead. Anyway. Bob and I, the wife comes out and tells us about a group of people that meet at the neighborhood church, and they were talking to a minister, and they're putting their lives together, and maybe if we go. Bob says, gee, you think if I go, she'll hold off on a divorce? I don't know, Bob. That'd be up to her. But you and her get along great, great when you don't drink. It might be worth a shot. I say, how about me? I'll go. I'll go to the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts. I don't want a divorce. She's you. They don't make anything to help people like you. You're crazy. Friday night, we went to our first, quote, AA meeting. I'm 28 years old. He's 27. At that time in my life, people I don't like or trust, people. Everybody's a phony. When you live in the street, you think like the street. I'll sucker you before you sucker me. I didn't know I was going to meet people like I met in these rooms. I didn't know I was going to meet people come back and sit at your kitchen table at 3 o'clock in the morning because they know you're shaky and they want to make sure you get through the night. Then they go up and go to work in the morning and they don't have their hands out for anything. They get their greatest joy out of watching a new man stay sober. That's how they get their joy. That's how they get their strength. I didn't know you're going to meet people that go and pick up a guy in a 12-step call and bring him to the hospital and go to a grocery store and buy groceries and fill the refrigerator up with groceries and milk and bread and buy the kid's shoes. The old man's in the hospital. He don't even know what's going on, but the kids and the wife are taken care of. That's kind of AA's I was raised with. We stand outside the doors of Avon Lake. It's a church cafeteria type room. I open the door and I look around. There was about 20 or 30 people in that room. They were all dressed nice and looked good. I thought, my God, look at them. I thought I was at a PTA meeting. Where the hell did they ever drink? I got 35 cents in my pocket. I got clean work clothes, a pair of loafers that don't quite have holes in them yet. And the second thing that hit me was they were all old. My God, 45, 50 years old. No wonder they quit drinking. They try to drink today, they're dead. Who the hell can... They couldn't cut it. People there talking to their wives. Who talks to their wife? My wife and I don't talk at this time in our lives. We fight. We fight. We can't talk more than 5 minutes without being in each other's throat. We're standing shoulder to shoulder. I look over, there's five or six guys over there telling jokes, having coffee. One guy breaks away from them. He's 105. Comes over. I didn't think he was going to make it. Puts out his hand. He says, welcome. It's so good to see you young guys. This program works, fellas. I haven't had a drink in 16 years. Oh, 16 years. My legs got weak. 16 years. My brother-in-law says, you got to be awful thirsty, mister. Who the hell ever heard of not drinking for 16 years? Don't talk years. Please, don't talk. Talk days, hours, and minutes. Talk days, hours, and minutes. Talk about the days when you slam the door and you say, they still treat me like they used to. I've been sober 10 days. They still treat me. You've been kicking people in the teeth for 20 years. You're sober 10 days. You want the whole world to change. Oh, God. Don't work that way. You earn it. You earn respect. You earn trust. And it takes a long time. It takes a long time. This guy started telling us about what a great life we're going to find. And I said, mister, not me, him. I come to help him. He's being sued for divorce and he got a drunken driving charge. I said, I'm just helping him. I can quit anytime I want. He said, oh, okay. And he grabbed Bob and went over in the corner and I went over, got some coffee. And I filled up the cup and I held it in his hand because I had strangers coming over wanting to shake hands with me. And I don't like that. In fact, you people scare me with your hugs. We don't hug at home. We shake hands. And you people hug. I almost got my eyes knocked out. I stuck out my hand to shake and this person went to put their arm around me. And I said, my God, everybody's hugging. Everybody's hugging. Well, hug. It isn't bad. It isn't bad. I get a cup of coffee and I announce the lead. I figure, oh boy, here's the Messiah, right? Here's the guy that's going to make us well. I don't know anything. I don't know how this works. I don't understand what's going on in these rooms. Let me tell you, if you're new, you don't have to understand. If I had to understand how AA works, I'd be still drunk. You don't have to understand. You just do. Just do. I'll tell you what I mean in a minute. announced the lead, and this guy gets up. Brand new suit, white shirt and tie, and he's always just beaming. And my brother-in-law and I, we went over and sat on the side. I'm not joining anything. I'm just going to look you over. I'm not a joiner. Still not a joiner. I'm just going to look you over. And they had one cake and a candle. It was his first anniversary, and it was his first lead. And he got up here, and he looked out. His wife was in about the third row. He looked at her. He says, "Hi, honey, I love you." And she stands up and says, "I love you, too." My brother-in-law pokes me. He says, "What the hell are we doing here?" I says, "I don't know what we're doing here, you sick son of a gun. You wanted to come here, not me. My wife's home lighting candles. Dear God, let him die. We'll get the insurance." That's where our marriage was. There was nothing in our house. Just boom. We were together. We weren't divorced because we couldn't afford a divorce. That's why we weren't divorced. We never talked. We never did nothing. I slept on the couch. I could have been a priest. I slept on the couch for 18 months. "You're not getting near me again, you rotten son of a gun. As soon as we get enough dough, you go your way." That was it. Everything was dead. We kill everything, people. We kill everything. Alcoholics are our own worst enemies. Kill ourselves and everybody that loves us. And we think we're not hurting anybody but me. Oh, God. Second thing I hear at an AA meeting. Looks out at everybody and says, "Isn't it great to be sober? I got up this morning and I could smell the flowers. Smell the flowers." I said to brother-in-law, "Don't poke me again. You're not in my world, buddy. They're turning off my gas. My pay is being guaranteed by 5 finance companies. I'm paying off drunken driving charges. I'm paying off lawyers. I can't get a job out the hall because they know Tommy gets a paycheck and he gets on a drunk. So you don't get anything decent out the hall. You go in my house. In my house, if I'm in the kitchen, the kids go in the living room. If my kids are in the living room and I go in the living room, they go to the kitchen. My kids don't want. I didn't know my own kids till after I come in the program. I didn't know my own children. God, in His mercy, gives us a second chance. Do you know we have 6 grandchildren that think I'm the greatest thing since Santa Claus. Justin's 16 now. Just gave him a car. Gave his brother, when he went away to college, a car. Gave my granddaughter a car. Gave the other granddaughter a car. I'm bankrupt buying cars for these kids. Grandpa will get me one. Yeah. I love it. God, I couldn't afford that $300 loan from a finance company when I come here. Now I can buy my grandkids cars. Thank God for AA. Justin was 7 years old. They had a share. They only lived 3 blocks from us. They got to share everything with Grandpa. Justin comes running in the house. "Grandpa, Grandpa." He was taking karate at pink belt or something. "And I learned a new move, Grandpa." "You did, Justin? What?" And he jumps up and kicks. You know how high they kick when they're 7? You go down. You go down like a... I'm laying on the kitchen floor and I'm in deep pain. And Justin jumping up and down. It works. There, it works. My sponsor says that's coupons. The gift, there's no fear of Grandpa. Grandpa doesn't yell and scream anymore. Grandpa isn't crazy anymore. That's my AA. Kids want to be with you. I didn't have that when I'm with my own kids. My kids were afraid of me. They wouldn't bring their friends home because they didn't know how Dad was coming home. God almighty, gifts. Why do I love AA? This guy started talking about it. I couldn't wait to get done. He lost me when he talked about the flowers. He finally got finished and I left. I was not impressed with your meeting or you or him. And I started towards the door as quick as I could. And at the door in Avon Lake, they have Big John. John's about 6'4", 220 pounds. And he stands right by the exit. The only way out, you got to pass John. I figure, oh, that's how this works. You're not going to drink tonight, Tom. John's going to make sure you don't drink tonight. And I start out the door, and John puts out his hand. He says, hello, young fella. I said, hello. He, let's see, drunk and driving. 5 minutes, he told my whole story. He says, you know why I know that? I said, yeah, my wife called you. He says, no, he says, that's where I was, and I got here, and a lot worse. He says, people in this room come out of jail. People in this room come out of insane asylums. The people in this room come out of the streets. There's people in this room come out of hospitals. There's people in this room come out of their $500,000 houses on the lake, living like zombies. But you do yourself a favor, young fella. You bring the body here, the mind's going to catch up. I tell you the same thing. Bring the body here, the mind will catch up. My head didn't keep me sober. My feet kept me sober. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me to a meeting. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me down a rosary and I prayed with Sister Ignatia. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me to my sponsor's house. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me to the meeting early to make the coffee. My head, this nutty head, it was up this long after I come here, I still wanted to drink. The only reason I didn't, I was afraid too. So I moved the feet. Think? Don't let me think. God Almighty, don't let me think. I didn't use my head the first couple of years I was here. I used my sponsor's head. I remember being on a job when I wanted to take the hood and throw it across the floor and wrap the superintendent right in the mouth. And I say to myself, Tommy, now wait a minute. If you do that, you're not going to work. That's right. Well, what would Jay do? Well, Jay would probably laugh. Get a cup of coffee and go back to work. Well, you better do what Jay would do, Tommy, because if you do what you're going to do, you're going to be unemployed. Well, you better imitate Jay. Okay. So, get a cup of coffee, go back to work. Gee, at the end of the day, Jay's way is easier than mine. So I kept copying Jay. And I go to the houses where I walked in houses and I watch kids jump up on their dad. Hi, Dad, like they're glad to see him. And I watch wives kiss him goodbye. See you after the meeting, hon. I say, how come that's not like that in my house? My house, they're tickled to death. Go to meeting, don't come back. We don't care if you ever come back, just go. Why in my house there isn't any of this love and happiness I see in these other houses? What do they do that I don't do? I'll do what they do. My feet kept me sober. Action. I'm not knocking the big book. People, the big book is my Bible, but I can introduce you to people that can know the 12 steps by heart. They read the big book cover to cover and they're drunk. Knowing isn't worth the powder to blow it to hell without the doing. That's where the secret is, in the action, in the doing. That's where it is, not the knowing. You can be a professor at AA and be drunk. Do. Do the things it tells you to do. That's where the happiness comes from. God, I had to learn that the hard way. On the way home, Bob, what do you think of those meetings? I said, Bob, those people have something. I never met people that made me feel like I was welcome. He's not me. I'm too young, Tom. I got too much living to do. Bob did all his living. 18 months, they put him in a white coat. Almost swallowed his tongue. DTs. It's a mess. I came back to your meetings for 4 months, and for 4 months, I heard your success stories. And I would come home from the meeting, and the wife would say, hi, honey, how'd the meeting go? What do you mean, how'd the meeting go? I'm sober, ain't I? What the hell more do you want? Good AA. Honey, can you cut the grass in the front where I do something in the back? What do you mean cut the grass? I'll work up a sweat and I'll have to drink. You want me to drink? Can you fix the faucet? It's leaking. It needs it. No, I'm not going to fix the faucet. I'll get aggravated and I'll drink. See, you don't have to be drunk to be useless. You can be dead sober and useless as a bedbug. After 4 months, I decided that my problem is not booze. My problem's money. Money's my problem. If I had enough money to live the way I want to live, I could do like these guys. Their biggest problem was they missed a 3-foot putt. Isn't that a shame? I can't even, they're turning off my gas. I don't live in their world. I don't fit in their world. I hear about jobs in South Dakota, and out I go. They work in 712s. And the result of a good apprenticeship in Cleveland, I was put in charge of the Titan II fuel systems in Sturgis, South Dakota. And I made a lot of money. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I never seen a live chicken in my life, and I lease a 300-acre chicken ranch. 300-acre chicken ranch. You know what my thinking is? They shouldn't let us think. Shouldn't do it. 2,000 guys in that job, they need eggs. I'll get eggs. I'll sell eggs. I'll be the egg king. I'll get a plant out here, and then I'll get another one in New York. I'll get another one in Jersey. I'll be a millionaire. We don't think small. We don't think small. We think big. And I went to the job, and I told everybody in the job, you want eggs, you let me know, I'll bring them in. Some guy from Iowa or some damn place says, Tom, you ever have anything to do with chickens? I says, no. He said, well, you know, you got to put gravel in with the feed. I said, you got to do what? He said, put gravel in with the feed. I said, why? He says, well, that's what keeps the eggshells hard. I said, is that right? He says, yeah. So I called Tony. Tony was from New Jersey. Tony never seen a damn chicken either. He was in charge of the laborers and all that stuff. And I says, Tony, would you do me a favor and put some gravel out in the chicken coops? Don't worry, Tom, you're covered. I went home that night. Well, Tony went out with a 10-ton dump truck and emptied the 10-ton dump truck right into the chicken coops, killed all the chickens, broke all the eggs. That was the end of the chicken career. And you're sitting out there, you're wondering, what the hell's that got to do with sobriety? I'll tell you what it's got to do with sobriety. If you don't know what the hell you're doing, get a sponsor. I'm not talking about a sponsor that, well, I'm out of the hospital 2 months, you're out 1 month, well, I'll sponsor you. Okay, boom, right over the cliff. Get a sponsor that cares enough about you. He's worried about saving your life. He don't care if you like him or not. He sees you doing something wrong, he's going to chop your legs off. Because he loves you enough and he cares enough, he don't want to see you get back out in the street. Huh? We're not here to win friends and influence people. We're trying to save each other's life. Why do you think we don't care about religion? You're Jew, Catholic, Protestant. Who cares? Black, yellow, white, green. Who cares? This is above all that nonsense. AA is above all that petty stuff the world's into. We're not into it. We're saving each other's life. Do you know what that means? I'm drowning. I don't care who reaches down to get me, if he's a Catholic, a Jew, he's black or white, a Chinaman, grab me, help me. That's it. That's what we are. We're in survival. What I think makes it work? We look past what you... We see a drunk. I go on a 12-step call. I see a guy sick and dying. I know where he is. I've been there. But we see him a year from now. Automatically see him a year from now. Because I've been through it hundreds of times and I've seen it happen. People come back from the dead. Oh, God. You look right past all what looks like reality. That isn't reality. The real guy, he's coming. Give him a year. You'll see what he's like. The real guy will come out. When he stops being afraid and don't even know what the hell he's afraid of. We realize there's people that will carry him till he can walk. And we're here. Call the wife, she come out. She's drinking. I says, no, that night she said, I'll be out. And that night I went to town, I had a shot and a beer, I went to my room in town. I thought, I woke up the next morning, I said, look at that, I'm not an alcoholic. Don't take the first drink. I took the first drink. I controlled it. Back to the bar at 6 in the morning, said, put the bottle right there, buddy. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of 18 months that everything I heard that happened to people up here never happened to me in 18 months happened. When you start down, people, it's a grease slide. Pain got me here. I like drinking, but the price gets too high, people. The price gets too high. I couldn't pay it anymore. And by the time I couldn't pay it anymore, I didn't know how to stop. The wife come out, and like she told you this morning, the cops called her to get me, and on the way in, she hit a snowbank and almost died. My kids almost died. She left. I lost a job because I used to think it was Saturday. It was Tuesday. I couldn't read a print anymore. I'm back welding. I tore the hood down in February and hear Christmas carols. I'm on Dream Street. Guy from Ohio says, Tommy, I'm going home. Let me take you with me. I get to the back door of the house. She opens the door. She says, keep going. Keep going. She says, don't even let the kids see. If you got any decency at all, just get out of our lives. I got the papers in for the divorce. I'll mail them wherever you want. Just keep going. I go down the hall. They give me a ticket to go to work in New York. I get to New York. I'm too sick to work. I stop in for a few drinks, and I sleep in areaways and hallways and stoops. They're passing a brown paper bag. You don't ask what's in it. I wake up in the hallway where my mom and dad lived on Coney Island Avenue. And I wake up and my mother's sitting on the stoop next to me crying. My God, son, please go get help. You're breaking my heart, Tommy. It's killing me to see you. Mom, I'm all right. Don't worry about me. Look, what do you mean you're all right? Look at you. That's drinking living. And let me show you sober living. Same mother. Tom gets in AA. Tom gets back with his family. Tom's sons and Tom go in the business with the help of AA, showing me how, and bookkeepers and accountants and lawyers. And Tom starts his own mechanical business. And Tom does pretty good. And Tom goes back to Brooklyn. He says, come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. All you need is a toothbrush. He brings him to Fort Myers, Florida, because he just bought them a house there. And now your mother's crying, but the tears of joy. My God, she's on the phone calling my aunt. You should see what Tom got us. That's AA. That's my AA. What, you think getting things are good? Wait till you start giving. Wait till you see a mother's tears of pain turn to tears of joy. You just swell up. That's my AA. You put the 12 steps and 4 absolutes in your life, and you'll have it too. It isn't mine, it's yours. You're in this room, this is your program. Don't let anybody tell you it's theirs or not, it's yours. I call a wife. She don't want anything to do with me. I figure I'll show them, I'll kill me. Oh, isn't that great? Huh? How sick do you get? I get up on the bridge on 3rd Avenue with the L's. I'm a jump. And I had a spiritual awakening. I looked over and I seen the big rocks and I thought, boy, suppose you jump and hit the rocks and don't die. That's going to hurt. Huh? I don't know any alky that wants to hurt. Finally, I get talking to the wife. She sends me money. The only reason she sends me money to come home is she's having a tough time raising 4 kids. It's a hard shot. And it figures if I get in town, maybe. I get back in town. I get down the hall. I say, look, Burns, we'll send you down the mill for 3 days. Get a check and get out of town. I get a check. I stop in for a drink to cash the check. And I wake up in jail. And the cop walks by. His boy, you did this time, Burns. I don't know what I did. And I cried all night because I was scared to death. I'm not just an alcoholic. I'm crazy. That AA don't even work for me. Nothing works. I'm just crazy. Why didn't you just let me die? I went home that night. I wrecked the house. I had the wife against a wall. I don't believe in laying a hand on a woman. I got my wife by the throat up against the wall when the cops come. What kind of nut am I? I look up between the bars the next morning, and there's my brother-in-law. And he's cleaned up and looks good. And I got to put up my wall. I can't let him in. I can't let no. I'm afraid. I'm John Wayne. Bob, can you imagine I'm in jail again? He said, of course I can imagine you're in jail again. You're just like me. When you drink, you're crazy. I haven't had a drink in 8 days, Tom. 8 days. You can't go 8 days, Bob. Tom. They put me in straps. I went out. I got the detox. I go to 2 meetings a day now. I got a sponsor. I go to 2 meetings a day. And if they don't send you away, I'll take you with me tonight. They put me on 6 years probation. I paid for a lot of damage and years we paid for that. Uniforms and cars. And that night I went to Lorraine St. Mary's And I can't tell you anything about the lead because my brother-in-law come with the man that was running with him. And after the meeting, the man that became my sponsor shook hands with another man. He said, I'll see you next week. And I grabbed him physically. I said, how do you know that? How do you know you're going to see him next week? How do you know you're going to be sober next week? I don't even know if I'm going to make it home. He's back off and come with me. We went to a drugstore. We got vitamin B, K-Ro syrup, orange juice, and honey. We went to my kitchen table. He poured out the vitamin B pills, mixed the honey and the orange juice, says, take them and drink that. You talk about a third step, made a decision to turn your life over. I took a third step right then. I turned my life over to him. People, I didn't have a God. I didn't have a God. I didn't have any faith in anything. My prayers would get me out of this, you know, get me out of this. I didn't have that, what you people seem to have, like this close relationship. I didn't have that. I didn't have faith in anything. But I had faith in this man because he was sober 12 years. And he's got the secret. Finally, he says to me, yeah, what time is that? 10 after 12. Did you have a drink today? I said, no, you got it. I got what? You got the program. I got what program? What the hell are you talking about? I got the program. You haven't had a drink in 24 hours. That's bottom line. There's more. You're not ready. I'll be here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. You realize you'll have one-third of today in? 8 o'clock in the morning, a man old enough to be my father was at my house. He took me into Cleveland. We went to Stella Maris. I got a shot of vitamin B. We went to two discussion groups. And that night, he picked me up. And we went to a meeting. And I became a mechanical man. Meetings, 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 and more meetings. I went to work with Pepsi-Cola and hard candy. That's what I lived on. Somebody said, Tommy, when you go to work, you're working with a guy you know for years. Yeah, tell him you're in the program. Build a picket fence around you. Let somebody know you're in the program. I'm welding. Harry's pimping for me. I figure, well, Harry's the worst drunk in the local, so I'll tell Harry. Harry, I'm not going up with you at noon, Harry. I joined Weber. What? I joined that AA, Harry. You joined? Oh, that's great, Tom. Pat joined that about 6 years ago. He's doing wonderful. You really need it, Tom. As I need it. How about you? No, I'm not that bad, but you need it, Tom. Everybody, the pastors. Hey, come here. Tom's in AA. Isn't that great? Yeah, well, the whole job knew I was in AA. Nobody let me drink. At noon, they grabbed, oh, you stay here. We'll bring you back a ham sandwich. Guys I drank with wouldn't let me drink. Now there's about 15 of them in AA now, with 25 years, 15 years, yeah. Oh, small world. Meetings, meetings, meetings. Things at home, people are miserable. We're fighting, the debts are coming, the bills are coming. I think, God almighty, this is worse than it's ever. It was never this bad. It was getting better, I just didn't realize it. When you're sober, you realize how deep your hole is. I hope when you come here, your hole's 1,000 feet deep. The deeper, the better. For the first time, you're laying flat on your back, but at least you know which way you gotta go. First time in your life, you're looking up, you see daylight. And I guarantee you, it might take you 10 years to get there, it might take you 10 years to get back. I guarantee you'll be even with the board. And there's days you're gonna climb 3 steps, and there's days you're gonna fall back 2. But you got people here helping you, showing you where to put your feet. Nobody can do it for you, but we can show you what we did. You follow us. Follow us. Let us help you. Meetings, meetings, meetings. Go to a meeting one night, somebody says, any anniversary? Somebody, Tom's sober a year. Yeah. Oh, you should have seen me. I get in the car, I'm driving home, and this guy says, hey, Tom, you're still sleeping on the couch, yeah? Why? You work, put her on the couch, yeah? Yeah, okay. Hey, Tom, you giving out checks every week, yeah? You still broke, yeah? You better handle the money, Tom. She don't know how to handle money. She's probably on dope. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. I'm in the car by myself. I got 6 nuts up here. I got 6 crazy people, and I always listen to the nutty ones. I don't know why. That's the way it is with me. Why do you think I didn't use my head? Nutty. I pull in the back door, and I walk in the house, and she's sitting in the living room reading those books. She always reading those communist books. I walked out. New game rules. From now on, I handle the money. Apparently, you don't know how to handle money. We're still broke. And from now on, I'm going to sleep in a bed. You're going to sleep in a couch. And from now, and she says, whoa, whoa. Never said whoa before she got with those people. Now, whoa. I said, what do you mean, whoa? Do you know what today is? She said, do I know what today is? She said, go out in the kitchen, look at the calendar. And right out in the kitchen was a great big red circle. July the 5th, Tom Sober, 1 year, 2 day, still crazy. She come out, she says, I used to think our problem was booze. I used to think you ranted, raved, and acted like some guy with my maple, like a little kid, because the booze made you crazy. Tom, I know you haven't had anything to drink in a year, and you're just as crazy now as you ever were. I'm fed up with being your whipping post. The kids are fed up with being your whipping post. You want to do this, and you could have done that, and if it wasn't for us, well, go do it. I'll do whatever I have to do. I got divorce you, Tom. And I went to the meeting to grab you old-timers as you lying, but you told me things were going to get better? I haven't had a drink in a year. My wife's divorcing me? Oh, Tom, I never got divorced. Bill, did you get a divorce? Come here. Tell Tom. Oh, Tom, they're great. You're going to get spiritual. She's going to take every damn material thing you own, Tom. Sit down, Tom. That's all they used to say. Sit down, Tom. They used to say, sit down, nutty. Sit down, nutty. I go to a meeting. I'm sober 14 months, and a guy gets up here, and he tells my story. He was sober 6 years, and his wife is sitting in the audience. I'm watching her. She's looking at him like he's some kind of movie star. And they just got a new apartment. And they were going, him and her and the two kids were leaving on their first vacation. They bought a brand new used station wagon. And he got a new job, and that day he put a refrigerator. They got a new refrigerator. I remember that. And I sat out there and I says, when's it going to get like that for me? When are my kids going to want to be with me? When is my wife going to look at me like that? Why does my sobriety have to be a fight all the time? How come I can't have what he has? I do everything. I make coffee. I do this. I go that. What am I missing? And he ended his lead. He says, take it home, yo-yo. Don't come in here giving spiritual advice to a new man and all about the third step and how you did this and how you do that. Then go home, rant and rave with the wife and kids. You want to yell and scream? This is the classroom. Yell and scream in here. You're 6'2"? Great. Find somebody 6'2", go on the backyard, yell and scream at him. Then pick yourself up off the ground, because he's going to deck you. Then go home and say, come on, honey, I want to take you and the kids for ice cream. Bring home the guy you want to be. Bring home the guy you can be. Act as if until. I sat down at the table with a bunch of old timers. I said, don't tell me, tell me, how do you take it home? What do I have to do? When was the last time you said, hey, honey, thanks for a nice supper? I buy the food. She better cook it. When was the last time you called up, said, don't cook, I'm going to take you? When was the last time you thought of anybody but you? Never. Sober 14 months, I still never thought of anybody but me. Self-centered, selfish son of a gun. It goes with the disease. One of the old timers comes over, he says, Tom, can I speak to you over there a minute? I said, sure. I figured he needed some advice. Put his arm around my shoulder, said, you're self-centered, son of a gun. When are you going to grow up? A little over a year ago, you were sleeping in the weeds. Did you forget that, Burns? You got a warm place to sleep. You got a home. You got a wife. You got kids. When are you going to learn how to say thank you, God, for the things you have? Instead of moaning and groaning, you're sober 14 months, you haven't got a Cadillac. Isn't that a damn shame? Grow up. We got four absolutes, Burns. One of them's unselfishness. Put it in your life for 30 days if you can, and watch what happens. And walked away. And I said, boy, I better do something. I better change. If I don't change, I'm going to drink. Because my life's a mess. And on the way home, I stopped at a Lawson store. I bought a box of chocolate-covered cherries. $1.89. I used to think it was big things. It's not big things, people. It's not big things. Hey, honey, how about coming in and having lunch and we'll go play golf this afternoon? Is that a big deal? Let them know you care. You'll watch me. I'll get the coffee. My wife don't get her coffee or a tea. I get it. I don't get my wife's tea because I'm some kind of a wimp. I get my wife's tea because it's my way of saying thank you. Thank you for feeding my kids. Thank you for being the woman you were when I wasn't the man I should have been. No, honey, you don't wait on me. I wait on you. From now on, you're going to be treated like the queen because you are. You paid your dues in spades, babe. You don't wait on me. That's the way it's going to be. That's my way of just saying thank you for being what you are. Is that too much? I buy a box of candy and I get a card that you give somebody that was in the hospital. Thanks for being there when I needed you. Love, Tom. Joe Yo-Yo from the street. I'm going to be a lover. Huh? I get in the house, I go in the back door, she's sitting in the living room, I don't even have the guts to give it to her. I don't know anything about this. And I put it on the kitchen table. And I walked in the living room, I says, Glenn, can I have 2 minutes of your time? I never talked like that before. I never talked to her like she had a brain. I never talked to her like she had feelings. Not that I just didn't think she had feelings. And I just didn't know. Alcoholics don't know a lot. Have to teach us. As I heard a guy speak tonight, Glenn, and I want to be like him. Do you know him and his kids are going on a vacation and his wife was with him and they're happy and Glenn, I'm going to change. I'm going to be like him, and if I don't, give me a couple of months. If you don't see any change, I'll leave. But if I do, Glenn, we may make it. We may make it. She looked up and smiled. She said, who led the meeting? Jesus. Huh? How'd you like that? She couldn't believe anything could happen, and nutty, I couldn't. So I'll make some coffee, and she went out in the kitchen. About 2 minutes, I heard her crying, and I went out in the kitchen. I stopped crying, and we sat at the kitchen table, and we talked, and we cried, and we talked, and we cried. And we talked at 3 o'clock in the morning, because I listened. For the first time in my life, I listened. Alkies aren't good listeners. And we got out the envelopes, we were 5 a week in this one, 10 a week in that one, we start paying the bills. I come home from work one time and she says, Tom, you see that $30 on the kitchen table? I said, yeah. She says, that's ours. Our $30. I'm sober 18 months, I got 30 bucks, big deal. You better believe it was a big deal. From where we come from, it was a big deal. You know what I did? I took my kids, my wife, myself, in our new used station wagon. I went out to Sandusky, Ohio, to a Perkins Pancake House. I bought $30 worth of pancakes, strawberry, and whipped cream. And my daughter, at 3 or 4 at the time, sitting there, and she come over on my lap. She's, Daddy, can I have more strawberries? I says, honey, you can be a strawberry. And my sons ate strawberries and pancakes, and my daughter jumped up my lap and kissed me. Said, Daddy, I love you. That's AA. My sons grabbed my hand and sat in the front seat with me because they wanted to be with me. They weren't afraid of me anymore. That's AA. And we went on boat houseboat trips in Tennessee, and we watched Bar Lake, and we went to Holiday Valley in New York on skiing trips, and we become a family. And I start getting better jobs. I told my sponsor how great things were going. At midnight, my phone rings. He says, Tom, pick me up. It's about time you did some 12-step work. Midnight, I go to his house. We go to a little summer cottage. We walk in. There's a woman standing by the kitchen sink with a great big bruise on her face, and she's crying. She's, my husband's dead. And over here is 2 kids, 5 and 6 years old, sneakers and underwear. This is wintertime. They're scared the way kids are scared, the way my kids used to be scared. And I walk in the living room, this guy's a lump on the couch, and I pick him up, and I listen for a heart, I listen for a breath, nothing. I was, you son of a gun, why'd you have to die on my first 12-step call? What am I going to tell the guys Friday night? I try to carry the message, I get a corpse. What the hell do you want me to do? I went back out in the kitchen, I grabbed the old-timer, I say, this guy is... He walked over to the woman, he says, lady, do you have anything in the house to drink? She says, I have a bottle of wine. He took the wine in a glass, he walked in, he poured the glass of wine, he said, hey, buddy, want a drink? The guy sat right up. I said, look at that, they even raised the dead. And you know what impressed the guy? when the glass was half empty, he filled it again. He said, boy, you guys were all right. Damn right. Want to go to a party with us? Yeah, you got a bottle here. Of course he wants to go to a party. Down to the hospital, boom, 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 in the bed, boom. I get home at 5 in the morning. I go to work. I come home from work at 5 at night. I'm beat. I don't even want to eat. I take a shower. I'm going to bed. The phone rings. It's the old time. He says, you stop and see the new man? I said, no, I didn't stop and see the new man. I'm not retired. I worked all day. I'm going to bed. He says, no, you're not. You're going down to see the new man. I said, no, I'm not. I don't like the new man. He says, I don't care if you like him. You're tired. You don't like him. You put him in there. He's going to be there 6 days. You go down. You see him every day. I said, Bill, I don't know what to tell him, Bill. He says, who the hell says you got to tell him anything? How about bringing him some cigarettes and sitting on his bed and letting him know somebody cares enough to be there? How about that? Hang up the phone, I go to the store, I buy cigarettes, I get down to the hospital. I don't go to the hospital because I think I'm Jesus saving the world. I go to the hospital because I'm afraid not to go to the hospital. I go to the hospital because I think if I don't go to the hospital, I may get drunk and I'll do whatever I have to do not to drink, so I'll go to the hospital. And I walk in that room and I look at him and he looks at me as, hi there, hi. How's the food? You feeling okay? Is everything okay? Hey, look at you, son of a gun. I don't like you either. But my sponsor said, I got to come down here and talk to you. Here's your cigarettes. I don't care if you smoke. You don't smoke. Smoke the damn cigarettes. He opens the cigarette, takes one. He says, gee, thanks, Tom. You know why he's blah, 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 blah? Because he's afraid. Because he don't know how he got in the hospital. He don't know if he got a job. He don't know if he got a family. He was in a total blackout. And then when you tell him, you know, I woke up in jail and I was afraid, he says, you know. That's the beginning of sponsorship. You have nothing until he knows you know. You can quote that big book to a drunk. He's not impressed. You tell a drunk how good it is this AA and how good your life is, and then he goes to your house and he sees your wife and family looking at you with fear in their eyes. He knows you're full of bullshit. And Alki is not impressed on what you say. He's impressed on what he sees. That's what impresses a drunk, what he sees, not what you know. Live it. Be it. Be the big book. I run him to meetings. I run him to meetings. I run him to meetings. Gets in my car. He's sober 3 months. He says, you read the 24-hour book today? I said, no, I didn't read the 24-hour book today. Oh, 24-hour book is great, Tom. So I bought one. Bought a 24-hour book. Read yesterday, next week, next month. Wait till he asks me about this book tomorrow. He gets in my car. He's sober 5 months. He says, fifth chapter blows your mind, don't it? I bought a big book. I hope you get into it long before I did, but I had scrambled eggs. I could read. I read this paragraph. By the time I get this one, I don't know what the hell's in that one. I got AA in church basements, kitchens, cars, going to meetings. Listen to Sister Ignatia talk to people. Listen to old-timers talk to people. I just grab it, grab it, grab it. I get a call. 8 months, this woman calls me. She's crying. She says, can you come down the house, Tom? And I thought, that son of a gun's drinking. I'll break his legs. I run down that house. I got out of the car. I start up the driveway. A screen door slams. And this woman comes out, walks down the driveway, takes my hands, puts them behind my back, puts her cheek against mine, and kisses me on the cheek and says, God bless you, Tom Burns, and God bless AA. And you swell up. That's when AA goes from your head to your heart. That's when it's in. Yeah, I can't separate AA from my life anymore and separate my fingers from my hand. It's all one. I'm a drunk, and I got a woman blessing me. Two kids run out. Come on, Uncle Tom, come on. Pull me into a bedroom. There's a bed full of slips and dresses and Levi's and sneakers, a little bicycle, refrigerator full of food. He's standing there crying. Look what AA did, Tom. He got a job, went to the credit union, borrowed $1,200, and they went Christmas shopping in July. You want to see AA? Watch a six-year-old kid jumping up and down on the bed, showing you his new clothes. This is what my dad got. And they're looking at their dad like he's Superman. That's AA. I went home and I said to the wife, my God, honey, I never seen anything like it. You should see the kids. You should see the wife. She says, yeah, I never seen you so happy. You want to get happy? Forget yourself. You got problems? Oh God, we all got problems, huh? Let's put them out by the coffee and read all the problems. I guarantee you 99% of us will take our own back. Bring the body. The mind's going to catch up. Thank you. Good night.